Hi there. My name is Marisa, and I'm doing this podcast to record the transplant experience I have had for the kidney transplant that I received on the 26th of September, 2018. I have a number of topics that I will cover during this podcast series, and who knows, this may evolve into some sort of written document, because I've also kept a sort of journal during this experience. I am still in the midst of this experience in that I am still in Boston and having procedures and having the medications adjusted, but I thought that it was important to share the experience, not only for people who may be going through the transplant evaluation and are on transplant list and want to know what it is like, but also to record basically what I've gone through so that, you know, as time goes by, I can refer back to what I was going through and how I felt, you know, when you start forgetting things. So topic number one is going to be sort of like the background, what my medical history has been and what happened that required me to require a transplant, a kidney transplant in the first place. Well, I have polycystic kidney disease, and that means that cysts, fluid-filled cysts, develop in my kidneys. And over time, they get larger and larger and start to replace the healthy tissue within my kidneys. And my kidneys then aren't able to function. Now, this is a hereditary disease. Both my grandmother and my mother have gone through polycystic kidney disease, and the understanding is that my great-grandfather had it, even though it wasn't diagnosed, and passed away because of kidney failure, and this was in a time before dialysis. So what happens is, or what has happened, is that while I was younger, there was some indication that there was the possibility of me having polycystic kidney disease as my blood pressure began to increase in my 20s. I did have an ultrasound, and it was identified that there were cysts in my kidneys. But then I tried very hard to live a healthy lifestyle, to try to delay kidney failure as long as possible. My mother's kidneys failed at some point in their 30s, and mine didn't fail until I was in my 40s. And to be quite honest, I think the stress of my second pregnancy, which was not planned, was what actually, I guess you can say, did the kidneys in. Now, the kidneys were very large. I had a nephrectomy, which is the removal of a kidney, to make room for a transplant back on November 30th, 2016. And that kidney that they removed was 8.5 pounds, which is bigger than either of my kids were when they were born. And the thought is that the left kidney, which they will take out in about 6 months, is probably about 10 pounds. And it truly has just taken up as much space as possible. The left kidney at this point goes from below my rib cage down into my pelvis. The right kidney was just as bad. And to the point where they removed it, they had to cut through my peritoneum, which made it impossible for me to be able to have a catheter inserted for peritoneal dialysis. So I had to have hemodialysis once I did have kidney failure, which is the dialysis in a dialysis center with the needles going into your arms. So I went through the transplant evaluation process back in 2016, and I was added to the list on, I believe it was August 12th, 2016. And the honest to goodness hope was that I would be able to find a live donor before I experienced kidney failure and to be able to skip dialysis altogether. But unfortunately, that did not happen. On November 2nd, 2016, I began hemodialysis through a chest catheter. And as you know, I had the nephrectomy in November, at the end of November 2016. And I then proceeded to be on dialysis for almost 2 years. It would have been 2 years in November of this year. I did have friends who came forward to be tested, and unfortunately, we were not successful in finding a match. And in that testing process, they do one person at a time. So it is a very long process and somewhat frustrating for everyone involved, because, you know, you really want a positive result. And I would assume that for those who come forward to be tested, they really want to help you. But you have to, you know, go through this process. And, you know, they're not testing everyone at the same time. So, you know, it just seems like there's a lot of hurrying up and waiting that goes on. The first year that I was on dialysis, I think I was probably very careful within the hope that one of the potential donors would be successful, and that would have given the greatest amount of leeway for the transplant and the removal of the left kidney, you know, before the transplant took place. But without having a live donor, I was, you know, being on the transplant list, in hope of a cadaver kidney, and that is ultimately what was received. So hence, I do not have the ability to have the left kidney removed until I heal from this transplant experience. The first year, because of the fact that I, you know, was patiently waiting and trying not to travel and things like that, I think I probably got a bit frustrated going into this year, in that, you know, I was wondering whether I would be waiting for, you know, 5 years for an O positive blood type kidney that would, you know, match me on one hand. And then, you know, I was trying to remain positive. I mean, I've had a great example set for me by my mother. And, you know, whenever I would feel down, I would say, you know, well, my mother got through this and raised two children and worked on another degree. And, I mean, she was just absolutely phenomenal. So I could, you know, get through this. And, you know, I had the most amazing support structure in my family and my extended family. Everything from being able to borrow my in-laws' car to be able to go to, you know, 4:30 in the morning dialysis, and then, you know, to be able to be involved in, you know, taking my kids to school after dialysis to see them off, and then going to work, you know, without my in-laws, that wouldn't have been possible. And then, of course, with my parents, you know, that sometimes on a Friday night, they'd keep the kids overnight so that I could just, you know, go straight to dialysis. Oh, please, I do apologize for the yawning. It's starting to, it's been a very, very long day. And I actually didn't nap today, which I think I probably should be trying to do that during the day. As I continue with my recovery. But that's a story for another day, I guess. Just to finish this particular podcast off, I think the reason why I wanted a transplant was I wanted to be able to have as much of a normal life as possible for my kids. I mean, when my mom had her first transplant, I was 13 going on 14. And, you know, my kids are 4 and 7. And, you know, I've noticed the difference in my activity level over the last year in particular. And I want to be able to run around with them and, you know, have the adventures with them. And, you know, I don't want them to just think that, you know, mommy's always tired. Because, you know, yeah, I was always tired. You know, I was living life, you know, with, you know, waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning to be able to, you know, go to, you know, a 4:30 dialysis treatment, and then having to get through the rest of the day as normal. So, and then of course there were the, you know, the aches and pains and, you know, the diet and everything like that. So, you know, I just wanted to have a normal life. Additionally, I'm very aware of the cost of dialysis versus the cost of transplant. And I do support the concept of trying to get as many people as possible who are on dialysis to have a transplant if possible, because, you know, ultimately it is more cost effective for them to, you know, live on the anti-rejection drugs and such versus having to go through treatment 3 times a week, 3 to 4 hours each time. And I think that, you know, even in the midst of the feeling of frustration that, you know, I didn't enjoy living a life on dialysis, I was very aware that, you know, looking back on a whole life, it would only be like, you know, short interludes when dialysis would happen, because, you know, I was a fighter and I'm going to take, you know, the best care of myself as possible to, you know, try to ensure that this kidney lasts as long as possible. So, you know, that was what I wanted so badly, and therefore that was what I was focused on, and that's what kept my spirits up. So, you know, that's the beginning of this journey for me, getting onto that transplant list and keeping focused. This year, I have traveled more for work. I have spoken at an international conference. I refused to let dialysis get in my way. And now I've been given a new lease on life. And I am so excited to see what difference I am here to make in the world, because as far as I'm concerned, I'm here for a reason. And, you know, I've been given this second chance for a reason. So, you know, I'm here to do something to help others, and I intend to do it. So I hope you'll follow me on this journey. So this is podcast number 1, talking about my medical history in advance of my kidney transplant experience. Thank you for joining me, and I hope you will join me for further episodes. Bye.